Danny Daniels.
Chandler McClure.
The Human Massacre, Keith Walker.
The gold standard of professional wrestling, Eric Priest.
Joey Eastman. Tyler Black.
Jimmy Jacobs.
Sweet and Sour, Larry Sweeney.
The American Angel, Sarah Del Rey.
The one and only Chris Hero.
Cody Castagnoli.
Austin Aries.
Nigel McGuinness.
Ryan Danielson.
Jay Lethal. Mike McCheeseworth.
The franchise, Shane Douglas.
The Tuesday Night Delight, John Morrison.
The Sexy Beast and the King of the World. The Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla. Y2J, Chris Jericho.
The Hardcore Legend, Mick Foley.
The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Pete, Pat,
Kevin,
Dunn,
and Pooch.
With our wrestling knowledge combined, we are
ready to rumble.
This is
Rumble Radio.
Break it, Peter.
Breaking down the walls of conformity live from the studios of WXAV 88.3 FM, located on the beautiful campus of St. Xavier University on the south side of Chicago. The Cubs have won the Central Division 2008 champions. They are three steps away from possibly winning something else, which we will not discuss because I do not want to jinx them.
I actually was watching, I think, HBO on my lunch break at work today, and there's a documentary about
the Cub fan. It's magnificent.
Yeah, I think it was called It was called like something like "There's always next year. We'll get them next year" or something.
Yes.
Like that. But it did have, I think what you're talking about is that fan that did his own documentary.
Yes.
It showed clips of his, and he was interviewed for it. So it was a little separate thing from, I think, what he did, I think. But it was disheartening, and it showed the whole Bartman thing.
It was sad, but they had this beautiful moment in that documentary in which I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he walked from Arizona to Wrigley Field to raise awareness for diabetes. And they opened the doors for Wrigley Field, and Ron Santo was at the pitching mound waiting to greet him. And even now I get a little emotional about it because it was a very moving moment.
I actually want to get his DVD, This Old Cub. I need to pick that up. Yeah, do you have it? Is it good?
It's good. It is.
Well, enough Cub ranting and everything.
Yes, this is a wrestling show.
My name is Peter Kreitz, and I am joined by Poochie Magoo driving the board.
Yes, I too like to ramble about how our Cubs wrestle with bad luck.
And Mr. Stephen Dunn, who's right now wearing a Cubs jersey.
Good man.
Yes, and talking on the airwaves.
And representing the Iowa Cubs all the way out in Iowa, we have String and two tin cans hooked up. Kevin Kellum.
Can two to can one. This is Kevin Kellum. I'm literally coming to you live from a cornfield. No joke. I'm in a cornfield.
Beware of the children, Kevin. Beware.
Beware of the children of the corn. Yes. Actually, I'm in Parkersburg, Iowa. Am I in near Parkersburg? And kind of weird there. He was hit by a hurricane, tornado rather. And the great people at FEMA doing a great job out here. So
very nice. Excited. Very nice. Kevin, obviously you weren't listening because I called you the representative of the Iowa Cubs. So
no, Peter, because see, that's you just, you know, prepping me to make me do an anti-Cubs joke or something like that. But I don't feel too bad because my Sox are only a couple of games away from clinching their spot in the
playoffs.
Magic
number is
hopefully
five.
Hopefully setting the road for an epic disaster, which could split the entire city of Chicago in half.
Big series tonight for the White Sox.
Is it three if they win today?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I heard.
Three to clinch.
Okay, because I heard three, but that's if they win tonight, which they won't because they are facing one of my fantasy pitchers, Scott Baker, so screw you, White Sox.
Well, hey, can we talk wrestling before we stop talking baseball already?
We could, but what's the fun in that?
Hey, we've got Tracy Smothers on the show tonight. He's coming up in just a little bit, and you know what? We're going to talk to him mostly about wrestling a bear instead of real wrestling, so you know what? I can talk about my Cubs. There.
That explains the fun.
Do you feel better?
I do feel better.
You got a lot of that off of your chest.
Yeah,
right,
he's going to talk about the bears, the Papa Bears. We're going to talk about the baby Cubs, and it's just going to be a wildlife adventure here on Rumble Radio.
You know what? Why don't we talk about the Papa Bear of WWE programming?
Not in ratings lately.
No.
The biggest stars of wrestling rule Monday nights. It's time to talk about Monday Night Raw here on Rumble Radio.
Yes, Cyborg Kevin brings us in. I like it.
Not only that, last night's broadcast of Raw was the 800th episode of Monday Night Raw.
Nothing too special for 800, except Shane O'Mac.
Shane O'Mac,
I'll take it. I love the shuffle.
My favorite McMahon is Shane O'Mac.
Oh, how could it not be?
I
don't know. A little Declan can be kind of amusing, too. You know?
But also, I thought it was a pretty good Raw last night. Had a fantastic main event.
I missed it.
Oh, you missed a good one.
I was on the phone. I missed it.
That's okay. It was the tag team of the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, in his first televised match on Monday Night Raw. In a very long time, I would say almost since WrestleMania, teaming up with the Animal Batista, taking on JBL, God, he won't go away, the World Heavyweight Champion Chris Jericho, and added at the last second by GM Mike Adamley, Lance Cade, in an awesome main event that they had. Surprising win as Lance Cade pinned Shawn Michaels cleanly in the ring, 1, 2, 3, to pick up the victory.
Those two claps represented a count of three.
Why?
For the listening audience.
Ding,
ring that bell.
Why did I miss this match? So there was no cheating. He pinned him cleanly.
Cleanly.
What move?
His modified sit-down powerbomb type move.
Wow.
Huge news. I mean, let's talk about this for a second.
That's big for Cade.
That is huge for Lance Cade. He now has a pinfall victory over Shawn Michaels.
The number one contender.
Because we thought that how many weeks or months ago was it when he kind of did like a, I think it was like a run in a main event match, and you're like, are they trying to put Cade in the main event? But then he sort of, you know, digressed and kind of fell back as the lackey role.
As the protege.
Yeah, he was involved because Jericho's kind of, you know, at the top of the show right now being champion. So he kind of, you know, he was there. He was in the segments, but he wasn't like the important guy. He was Jericho's, you know, right-hand man, which isn't quite as good, but now if he's pinning Shawn Michaels, that surely makes your stock go up.
Absolutely. I mean, he just pinned the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title. I mean, that's got to get Lance Cade into some sort of title hunt on Monday Night Raw on the brand. I mean, I don't think he's ready for the world, but definitely in the Intercontinental picture, he's got to be up there as a main guy for that belt now.
Yeah,
Peter, something I got to mention, it was the electric interaction between Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels. I mean, they've built this thing up, and I'm surprised there's still some steam in it. You know,
before their
last match, I thought, you know, this is it. They can't really go any farther with it. And they just keep finding a way to make this still interesting, make these guys hate each other. Now they've added the ultimate prize in the World Heavyweight title in a ladder match, which I think with those two guys is going to be really impressive.
I think they're going to pull out all stops for this ladder match at No Mercy, which is in 2 weeks' time. But I'm kind of not surprised. I mean, Jericho Michaels, you know, they've mentioned it in interviews, especially Chris Jericho, that it's really Michaels and himself that are writing this feud out, and they're really drawing it out. And this is old school wrestling storytelling right now. You're not getting the payoff right away. They're making you wait for it. They're making you, you know, keep in tuning in. I mean, I'd say consistently for the last 3 to 4 months, this has been one of the main reasons why I have been tuning in to Monday Night Raw, is to see what they do with Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho. It has been repetitive, but it's still delivered.
It's still intriguing too. You know what I mean? Like, there's still, just when you think they've come to some resolution, Jericho or Michaels finds a way to kind of cut deeper into the other guy. Now it's Michaels chasing Jericho, but as before, it was Jericho kind of chasing Michaels, and it's really exciting, and it adds something to it. I mean, talk about a swerve with just Jericho getting the belt after the match he had. That was kind of ridiculous, but you knew in the long run, WWE and these two guys in this match thought, you know, if we had the title, that's another way to drag this out and bring it to another level and give it a fresh, you know, coat of paint to make this angle keep going. It makes me, the only problem I had with the main event last night was seeing those two guys in the ring, you know, quickly interact with their Shawn, you know, trying to give the elbow on him and stuff like that. I mean, it was an action-packed match, a very quick match, but it almost made me feel bad to see those two guys in the ring, where I was so excited that maybe I just wanted to wait to see them in the pay-per-view, and that's when you finally get to see these two guys go at it one more time. I mean, that's interesting. You guys mentioned Lance Cade. I think it's a great rub for him. But I talk about Batista. He's supposed to be the number one guy. There's been reports going around that he's angry he doesn't have the world title since he's been moved to Raw. And now he gets paired with JBL in kind of like a holdover match.
Well, yeah, it's definitely a holdover match. I mean, it's, God, the sheer fact that they still keep on toying that JBL could quite possibly be the number one contender for that belt is just ludicrous in my belt. In my book, JBL needs to go get as far away from that title picture as possible. He's just not Not doing it.
And the other problem, too, with the matchup at No Mercy is it comes dangerously close to ruining the suspension of the ladder match. Because, you know, you see Batista win, you're pretty much going to feel pretty confident that Chris Jericho is walking out the champion. And the same thing is if JBL wins. You know, you're not going to sell any pay-per-views with JBL against Chris Jericho.
Absolutely not. I think it's a safe bet to say Batista's going to win this match at No Mercy. And... That's right. Shut up, JBL. Shut up.
That's not.
Go back to New York.
That's actually the most insightful thing I've ever heard JBL say.
Well, the stock market has been pretty crappy for him recently, so.
Yeah.
That might be baby.
You know what I think they should do with JBL is have him cut a promo and then get Sal Governale and Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show to make out behind him during a promo.
That would be nice.
That's just a pipe dream.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do. That's a video you can find on YouTube. It's quite funny.
Okay, we'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, the two guys from the Howard Stern Show kind of like appeared behind a CNN reporter when he was outside one of the investment banks that like closed down this week and affected the stock market. And here you see these two, you know, galoots from the Howard Stern Show making out with each other behind the camera. And they have acknowledged it. I thought that would be something funny, something nice for WWE to tap into, but... Only in my fantasy book would that happen.
That's okay. We'll let you fantasy book anytime, Kev. Speaking of that...
Great. Son of... Oh, man. I walked right into that.
The best part of it is I thought he had no idea what he had just done there.
I thought he stepped in some dog crap, and then I realized that was his response to your comment on the fantasies.
Well, you know what?
Speaking There's always dog crap in those cornfields, Kev. You got to look out.
Actually, you know what? There was.
That is awesome.
I just walked by some. You're right.
Check your shoes, Kevin. Make sure you didn't step in it. But actually, we want.
Speaking of last night, I enjoyed Santino Marella.
Yes. Santino got the old stretch of the face mask and the snapback. That was nice.
The honk-a-meter coming back.
You know, you were mentioning earlier you don't know how long they're going to do this. I think they're going to let Santino get pretty close to it. I mean, they're not doing anything else with the IC title. He's over with the crowd.
You
Why not?
You just mentioned you have Cade there, and you got to do something with him, and it's perfectly good transition there. You can still keep it on a heel, but actually have someone who can, you know, get in the ring for more than 2 minutes and do something besides a roll-up.
That's a minor technicality. Did it stop WCW from giving David Arquette the World Heavyweight title? It did not.
But at least they had someone in the ring to actually wrestle the match then.
The only thing about Santino is, you know, there's certain people that's believable that he can beat or, you know, sneak one by. But eventually, what are you going to do, start repeating, like, low and mid-card people that he can go over on? Because how is he going to get that streak without eventually having to face a legitimate opponent?
Like Kofi Kingston.
And actually have a legitimate match, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would like to see it go a little while longer in reality. You never know what's going to happen, but...
I want to see what they're going to do. I think the Honky Tonk Man will make an appearance for WWE.
No way. He has so much bad blood with WWE.
I know. Santino at one point on the website, on his video feature, referred to the Honky Tonk Man not as the king of rock and roll, but the king of trans fat.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Now
I enjoyed it.
Now, we want to hear from you. Talk to us at the AOL Instant Messenger, all one word, WXAV Studio. Once again, WXAV Studio, as Pooch mentioned earlier tonight. We're going to have Tracy Smothers on from the big tournament that IWA Mid-South is putting on this weekend. He's going to be on around 7:30, so you don't want to miss that at all.
And speaking
that guy is a legitimate badass, too. Besides being a wrestler, he was also a bounty hunter and once wrestled and defeated a bear.
Actually, before the show, Stephen Dunn and myself were watching the video of him wrestling the bear. It's on YouTube. You can go check it out there. It's,
I need to go check it out during a break. I haven't seen it yet.
Yes, you do need to go check that out. But
and this is a guy who doesn't mind punching fans in the face, too. I mean... This guy is a legitimate old-school badass wrestler, and exciting to see an old-school wrestler blended with all the young guys that are going to be in the Ted Petty Invitational Tournament this weekend.
And he's also got a nice shuffle going. I am very appreciative of a shuffle, a Smothers shuffle.
Wow.
Come on, do I have to pull the shuffle up on YouTube? It's there.
No.
It's damn good. Damn.
I know it is. I know it is.
Yes.
So... But in other WWE news, lots of stuff still going on with building up to No Mercy. in 2 weeks. There's a lot of other stuff that's going on the SmackDown ECW side, but one match that we need to discuss is Kane, Rey Mysterio, going to take place. Another match. They're getting Evan Bourne involved with it. I do not be surprised if you see Evan Bourne just move over to Raw. I mean, that Raw crowd is eating him up. He's blowing them away every single week with his moves.
I think it's inevitable just because it seems like they're going that whole storyline week to week now, that Rey Mysterio paved the way for guys like me. And, you know, on ECW, not that there's not some big guys, but, you know.
You can only do Evan Bourne versus Mark Henry 4.5 months.
Yeah, you know, you can only do stuff like that. And what's his name? Dude that used to come out with
Mike Knox, Ben Neely. Yeah.
So, you know, that gets old. At least if he comes over to Raw, a good portion of the roster is larger than him. You can do that David versus Goliath thing all the time. And he's kind of just going to be like, hey, I'm going to do Rey Mysterio's gimmick, except I'm white. Pretty much.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
But you know what, though? It's working, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's gaining over the crowd. And this is the thing where Evan Bourne has the big advantage over Rey Mysterio in that he's how many years younger than him? You know? So, I mean, I see Evan Bourne, throw him in that Intercontinental picture, I think. You know, once he's officially moved over to Raw, I see that happening. Get it, or maybe.
You know, and I got to admit this, too. I'm surprised by the matchup of Rey Mysterio and Kane. I mean, that these two guys who have such different styles in the ring, obviously the physical difference.
It's a big man, little man feud.
A certain style of match, but they've had two fairly good matches, and this one they're going to have on the pay-per-view, I expect more out of.
It's a big man, little man match. Vince loves those type of matches, Kev.
Absolutely, and you know, Ray's good at doing that. He's done it with a lot of other guys, and he's always been able to make it interesting, even though sometimes you think, like, you know, that's completely unrealistic, that a guy who's 159 pounds can get in there with almost a 400-pound guy like Kane and be able to have a good match, but they work really well together.
I would like to see them just, you know, take it over the top. They've had good matches, good interaction on TV. I'd like to see them really over the top. You know, Kane just brutalizing him, you know, whatever kind of thing you want to do, whether it's using the ring post, weapons, whatever he can get away with. Mysterio, I'd like to see some flashes of old, some high flying would be
his
nice.
His knees can't hold up too much for it, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So. I mean, you're starting to see that more and more with Rey in the ring. He's selective about the certain things he does. You don't see him going off the top rope as much as he used to. And his style is still finesse-based, but he's kind of kicking. He's a little bit more slower and methodical, and you're starting to see, like, how he can adjust. I mean, other guys have been able to have a long career after knee surgeries, but you always see them kind of change and slow down their pace as they come back from the injury.
Rey had his first major knee surgery, like, a decade ago, too. So, I mean, he's been getting that thing fixed over and over again. Yeah.
And what is his bicep injury going to do to him now? I mean, he's been in and out. He was supposed to be back in August, but they pushed it back just to let it heal some more. So, I mean, well, you know, he's had two major injuries in, like, what, like a year now?
Yeah, roughly. Well, if I remember correctly, the reason why it took longer with the bicep injury was he had an infection in it. Because he went to a surgeon that is notorious for kind of not being good, I think. And he developed this infection and everything. And I think that's what delayed it and his return to Monday Night Raw. But we're going to talk a little bit of Rey Mysterio later on because rumor has it he's close to re-signing a new contract with the WWE, and it's multi-year. So.
Yes.
And WWE's going to need him. They just expanded their television in Mexico. They're always thinking about expanding into South America, and they always need a big Latino star, and he's it.
Yeah, right now he is.
Now, moving over to something that we skipped from the very top of the program is what's going on with Randy Orton and CM Punk. That was quite nice. There was a B slap or two delivered.
And Punk didn't receive them. It was Punk giving it to Randy Orton. Could they possibly be making him look strong now? Yes.
Yeah, finally.
I think
when
they
he
are.
Doesn't have the belt, they make him look like a badass again.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting, this feud that they have developing between Randy Orton and CM Punk. This is a great feud, I think, for both of them because it's a matchup that we've never seen before, but it's two young guys that are saying, it's my time to be the number one guy. You're just overrated, full of crap, and that whole thing going on. But it should be interesting to see what happens. And not only this, their matches can deliver. I think these guys can go out and provide some really entertaining wrestling matches, and this is a feud that could last a long time. Could it be?
I loved seeing Cody Rhodes and CM Punk last night, even though it was basically a squash and Punk dominated Rhodes. But it was nice to see two young guys in the ring with each other too on TV.
I mean, you're seeing a lot of this now. WWE, no one can complain that they're not trying to develop young stars because obviously
and
they're not watching.
That was a big complaint, like even like a year ago or 2 years ago, that they were bringing in too many big guys like Nathan Jones and all these horrible guys that you would see like come in and they'd be gone in a year. But, you know, people complain about the developmental. I think on the Raw side, you're seeing those guys get better. Punk is the greatest example. And Orton, recently in an interview in Europe, ripped on Triple H and said he wants to be a part of a new generation of guys that can come up and they won't have to deal with Shawn Michaels and Undertaker and Triple H and all these old guys still at the top of the card.
I mean, they're kind of teasing this whole thing of a new blood versus millionaires club type feud going
Part
on.
Part three.
Part three,
or
yes.
Or is it two and a half?
Well, you have the WCW one.
The current one in TNA.
Yes, and then
the possibility of something similar going on now.
Well, this is my question that I want to, you know, just throw out to you guys.
This
and
is
see
my
what
answer.
Think.
Banana peel.
Damn it.
Yes.
Okay, I'm done talking to you, done. But no, I have another question for you, and it just came up there.
All right.
Could this be a swerve? Could, you know, they're developing new stars, a new possibly young guy stable. Could CM Punk be a member of the stable with Randy Orton and they turn on someone else?
No.
You don't think so, Kev?
No. They've built him up too much as a babyface. They've invested way too much in his image and his character and giving him the title to suddenly have him turn heel would just kill all the momentum they've built up with him.
But he's not the number one.
There. You're starting to see more little kids wearing CM Punk t-shirts.
But he's still not the number one guy.
And you don't have John Cena around.
Doesn't matter.
You need that pony face heel that everybody can get behind or believe in. Now, certainly there's a lot of people who don't believe in CM Punk and debate the way he got the title. But when you put him up against the most over heel next to Edge in WWE in Randy Orton, someone that can be vilified by anybody, then you got something there. Then you can really make a hero out of CM Punk the way you want it to and the way you're kind of building him to. To have him turn heel would just kill all that momentum.
And not only that, having him turn heel, he is, you know, a guy that wrestling can tout as their role model for people. You know, when somebody goes up to you and says, oh, wrestling, you know, how can you let your kid watch that? How could you, you know, enjoy that? They can say, here's this guy living a clean lifestyle and everything.
Straight edge.
You know, doing all this stuff. And what, you want him to be like a baseball player or a football player and shoot up in the locker room when he's 15? You know?
And at the same time, you need a guy who has an edge. You know, that his edge is that he's from a punk rock background. He's from the underground. He's a disciplined guy. He has a little bit of that MMA in him.
Yeah,
doing the martial arts thing. So he has that kind of cross appeal.
Yeah, and there's also that edge of, you know, he's taking on this lifestyle that's not necessarily generally accepted. You know, it's not the common thing for people to do. And, you know, you'll see a lot of people, you know, will have that, well, I'm the straight edge lifestyle until I'm 18, until I'm 21. And to have somebody out there like, hey, it's okay to do this. And, you know, you can also still be, you know, a tough guy out there and you know, have this moral system of beliefs. And that's definitely something that you want to have. You know, it doesn't appeal to small niche crowds necessarily. That's why, you know, you see him as a heel on like an indie scene. When you get into that mass market thing, yeah, that's a guy, that's that positive role model. That's what Hulk Hogan did. That's how he became big.
I was actually going to bring up Hulk Hogan, not to say that, you know, Punk is anywhere near, you know, in this stage of his career.
I would say
importance, but
I would say pray that he doesn't become Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Speaking of Hulk Hogan, at some point tonight, you guys have to talk about the release trailer for Hulk Hogan's new Celebrity Championship Wrestling
show. I heard it was bad, really bad.
No, it looks good. It looks good, like bad good.
It's so bad, good.
Are you saying it's kind of like the Adam West Batman 1960s camping pow zing?
Hey, that was fantastic.
Still is fantastic.
For real. I want to buy the movie.
It's out.
I think like Tough Enough, WWE's Tough Enough, with like a lot more pomp and circumstance to it. You
and
know,
people
like,
that
like,
are worthless pieces of crap that can't wrestle.
Is there drama, Kevin?
And the
celebrities,
too.
Yeah, oh, you do, totally. There's this one scene in the trailer where Bonaducci and Screech, Dustin, and Diamond are totally in each other's face. And
who will win, Danny
where, like,
or Screech?
Brutus is like freaking out like on the people he's training in like a locker room. Goldberg's on the show. Rob Van Dam appears on the show. It looks like a fairly interesting show.
I don't know.
Think of American Idol just with wrestling matches.
I'd rather watch a show like that that actually had people that like looked like they could be athletic and believable.
So if you want to watch a disaster of a wrestling show, you're saying you'll tune in Impact?
Oh. Ooh. Coming out there with the sharp tongue, Stephen Dunn.
How did we get off onto this celebrity wrestling anyway?
I mentioned Hulk Hogan.
You did.
Go back to your point, Pooch.
I want to finish my point. You know, CM Punk, not quite on the level of importance at all of Hulk Hogan in the history of time, but I was going to say, we know from seeing him on the indie circuit that he can play that heel role rather well, but I think right now it serves him to not even entertain that idea of going heel until far, far down the road in his career. After he's had a nice long run, is someone who could possibly be this positive face of WWE wrestling.
And as we said many times before in the past, wrestling does need that positive role model that the kids can look up to and say, yeah, it's okay to like him, to try and emulate your life like him and everything. So
well,
I just want to throw
SmackDown
it out there.
Side of things, Undertaker, Big Show, what do you guys think about this match?
Well, you want to know what we think of this match? You're going to have to wait a little bit later on in the show because... Coming up next, we are going to have on the line Tracy Smothers from the big IWA TPI tournament that's taking place this weekend.
So you guys can go to IWAMidSouthWrestling.com to get the full card and information, where to go, where to buy tickets, where how to get to the show, everything you need to know.
Or you can go to our official forums at ChicagoProWrestling.com. Poochie, why don't we take a little break, and when we come back, we should have Tracy Smothers from IWA on the phone. Kev, unfortunately,
possibly a bear.
Maybe a bear, maybe not. Can too, unfortunately, we're going to have to disconnect.
Yeah, I've used up all my minutes, so I got to get out of here.
Okay.
His string's wearing thin.
So, Kev, thank you very much for joining us on this edition of Rumble Radio. Check out our website, rumbleradioonline.com. Kev?
Yes, Kev, check out our website. We just want you to know that you should go check out our website.
And tell others to check it out as well.
All right, guys, we'll see ya.
Ta-ta, Kev O-ta-ta. Yes, he's going to tell the corn that surrounds him to watch
delicious
out for our website.
Corn.
Doesn't that kind of scare you that he's in a cornfield right now?
Kind of.
It does. Kevin should not be in a cornfield.
No, because when Kev's in a cornfield, it's not like those, like, high school, you know, flicks where the guys in the varsity jackets take out the, you know, the cheerleaders to the cornfield to make out on the hood of their, you know, Chrysler or whatever they're driving. I don't know.
Yeah,
when Kev goes into
a
corn, a
high school girl
who,
out
I just
there,
seen
there's
lost.
A lot of problems.
Yeah, he just steps in it out there, as you heard.
I just see Kevin getting lost out there. But that's
so
just
do
me.
I take a left at the corn stalk or a right?
Well, we're going to take a break right now. So I would say that's a stop.
There you go.
Indeed. We'll be right back after these short messages. This is Rumble Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the sexy beast and the king of the world. And you're listening to Rumble Radio right here in Chicago, my favorite city in Illinois and the continental United States, daddy-o.
Joining us back in studio here on Rumble Radio, sweet Peter Creighton.
Hello, Poochie Magoo.
You just went next door to the side studio and you got a very distinguished man in the wrestling business on the line for us, did you not?
We do. We have on the line right now IWA superstar Tracy Smothers. Tracy, welcome to Rumble Radio.
Hey guys, what's happening?
Nothing much, man. Now, big show happening this weekend in Joliet. The Todd Petty Invitational Tournament, which you will be a part of Friday night, taking on Dave Taylor in the first round. Can you tell us a little bit about the tournament and what you expect to happen this Friday?
Well, I mean, I really think that you can expect the unexpected. I mean, first of all, put where it's going to be, right? It's Hartman Rec Center, right?
Yes.
7:30, Joliet, Illinois, which everybody knows. It's a good lineup. I'm looking at it right here on the computer. I think there's going to be some upsets. I really do. There's a lot of young guys there that are getting a big, you know, big chance at to make a name for themselves, and they're already making a name for themselves. But boy, it's a strong card. I really encourage everybody to come on out because I think this is one of I think Ian and Jim Fannin kind of outdone themselves on this one. It's some great matchups here. What you got? Bingo, which is, he's the IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Champion, right, against Michael Elgin.
Yes.
And Chris Hero, you know, who was a former IWA champ, against Sammy Callahan. And I saw that kid take Scorpio to the women. I mean, that could have went either way. Chuck Taylor against this Cassandro, he's pretty bizarre, but that'll be something to see. And over here, it's going to be a real hard-hitting match. As I said, Two Cold Scorpio, Bobby Fish, and a lot of people may not know him, but he wrestles a lot for NOAH in Japan. And I know the guy that trained him, Tony DeVito, pretty good. But that's going to be a barn burner, man. Those guys are going to beat the crap out of each other. Then you got Too Tough Tony against Drake Younger, and they're similar. Tony's an IWA original, you know, JCW superstar, you know, and you know, that could go either way. It's hard to call any of them. Myself and Dave Taylor, everybody knows Dave Taylor. He was a mentor to Steve Regal, you know, the Blue Bloods, WCW, then WWF. He was trainer. He's a big deal in Europe and the United Kingdom, which he is, of course, in the United States, too. But he's probably the one of the most underrated guys in the business.
Dave Absolutely.
Taylor. It really is. And go ahead.
Actually, Dave Taylor, I think, doesn't get the amount of credit for really bringing that English style of wrestling over to the States and everything.
Yeah, him, of course, with Steve Regal and Fit Finlay. You know, and I mean, those guys are just powerhouses. You know, they're all the British guys were tough, you know, tough-minded. And, you know, there's no give in them. There's no quit. And it's one of the best lineups I've seen him have, and he's had some real good ones. Mike Quackenbush. Of course, everybody knows him from Chicago against Ricochet, who's one of the top young guys going. You know, Ricochet is an unbelievable athlete, and I think these guys have, you know, faced each other before. So, and Aries and Ace Steel, Ace Steel coming back. It was on developmental. And you got Ego Fantastico and Prince Mustafa Ali. That's going to be a great match. Claudio Castagnoli, Jimmy Jacobs. Boy, I want to see that one. Claudio's something else. Jimmy Jacobs is out of his mind, but he's very good. You know, all these guys, you talk about Claudio and Jimmy and Chris Hero, and a lot of them, you know, they got their start. Too Tough Tony. And now young women are young guys, and now they're veteran guys, been around nearly 10 years. Tyler Black, who's doing great, you know, everywhere. All these guys traveled all over the world. Josh Raymond, that's going to be good. Trick Davis and Sarah Del Rey, and it could be an upset there. I mean, Trick's in the best shape of his life, but Sarah Del Rey is tough.
Yeah, many will argue that she's the best technically sound female wrestler of this generation.
I think her and Mickey Knuckles are about the best.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them others that are really good. It's too bad Mickey, you know, of course, hurt. She's going to be back. She'll be back. You know, she's tough. She's just too – no quitting her. But
yeah. In fact, later on in the show tonight, around the 8:30 hour, we're going to have Ian Rotten on, and he's going to give us an update on Mickey Knuckles and let everyone know how she's doing, and also to talk about this fantastic tournament, TPI, taking place this Friday and Saturday, Joliet, Illinois. For more information, you can check out the official forums of Rumble Radio, ChicagoProWrestling.com, or IWA's website, IWAMidSouthWrestling.com.
Yes. Now, speaking of this tournament, you know, and you talk about how long you've been in this business. Your second round, potential second round opponent, Drake Younger, is 23 years old, about half your age. What is it like to be in the ring with guys that are young enough to essentially be your son? I mean, do you ever think something like that would happen to you?
You never say never, because you never know. First of all, Drake's got to wrestle Too Tough Tony first, so, you know. Like I said, it's going to be a round of upsets. I mean, you can't call it. There's favorites, of course. You got to have, Dingo's got to be a favorite. He's an IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Champion. He's not that for, you know, I mean, it's for a reason. It's because he's very good, and as all these guys are, you know. But yeah, I've been in the ring with guys 20 years younger than me, and I can remember when I was in the ring with guys 20 years older than me, and it don't seem like too long ago, but. I'm trying to get back in shape. I really am. It's really hard. I had some health problems, and personal's just crap, you know, but I'm trying to get back on track. And I really found it as far as getting motivated again. When I worked for Ian last time, he added me on when they the show in Portage, and then they did the Juliet, the benefit for Mickey, and that got me back motivated, you know, to get back after it, you know, and trying to lose weight, just trying to get back on track. I got a ways to go, but I'm doing better. But Yeah, that's something happens all the time. I mean, Drake's 23 years old. I've been in business 25 years. I'm 46. So, yeah, it happens a lot.
Now, you were just mentioning how you've been in the business for such a long time, and you really came in with the territories in the South, and you got to work for everyone. You got to work for WCW, WWF, ECW, and now you're working the indie scenes, and especially with one of the premier ones in the Chicago and really the Midwest region in IWA Mid-South. Where do you see wrestling going in the next 10 years? I mean, you got a lot of new talent coming up on the indie scene. I think the indie scene, especially in the Chicagoland area, has been incredibly exciting with guys like you mentioned that are going to be featured on this card. Tyler Black, Josh Freeman, Jimmy Jacobs, yeah. Claudio Castagnoli. Yeah. What do you see as the future of wrestling?
Well, I tell you, the thing about IWA, and they can say whatever they want to say about anybody that's anybody since 2002, since they started, and nearly 10 years now, I was on the first show, have come through there. I'm looking at the list here, the 2002, the names on here are guys that people didn't know then, but they do now, just like a lot of these guys you're talking about, a lot of these kids. They're getting there, and they're getting internet exposure. They get a lot with IWA. There's always great matchups, and you got guys that compete in this tournament that is like now, like a who's who. I mean, I'm looking at the 2002, Colt Cabana, Ken Anderson, who's Ken Kennedy, Colt Cabana, Scotty Goldman, he's in WWE. Just Nate Webb's went on, done good. Nick Mondo's done Japan. Ace Steele, B.J. Whitmer, Jimmy Rave, Tarek, Matt Stryker, Chris Hero, Chris Daniels, AJ Styles, of course, CM Punk, M-Dog 20, Necro Butcher, Corporal Robinson, and, you got a lot of guys here that are now real well established that people barely knew then, and they cut their teeth and got their start right there in IWA and competed in this very tournament, the Ted Petty tournament. Ted Petty, if you ever knew him, I mean, he's just a hell of a guy, excuse my language, but he really was, God bless him. Wasn't a drug user, nothing, was a hard-working man, wrestled till he died. He's 49 years old, and it's just sad, but I think it's great they're carrying on his tradition because he's looking down and smiling because they've had some great tournaments over the years, and it's made a lot of guys' careers. Matt Swadell, right? Jerry Lynn has been in it. You could go on and on. Of course, Ian, Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin. I mean, most of TNA and Ring of Honor and a lot of them in WWE have all come through there. Danny Daniels, a lot of guys.
Yeah.
So it's Michael Shane, Matt Bentley, a lot of guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a breeding ground for new talent. I think that's probably the best way to honor him is to bring up the new talent and really give him a chance to make
Teddy,
a name
I knew himself. Teddy since 1983 when he was a Cheetah Kid, and he never really got a break to his Public Enemy. But he was always just a great hand and a heck of a guy and just a straight-up good man. And you just got to know he's in a better place. Samoa Joe's competing in this tournament. I'm looking at this. There's a lot of guys, that are out there that are really, doing great. And they all got their exposure. They got Delirious. I could go on and on. Brian Danielson and, Eric Cannon, Petey Williams, a lot of guys.
Yeah, they have.
They really have. This year is no different. And go ahead.
Now, Tracy, you're dropping a lot of names there. It just shows the rich history of participants, past, present, and future for TPI. Yeah. That's the focus here today is to promote TPI. But we would be remiss if we did not ask you before we let you go about your bout with a bear. We watched this on YouTube online before the program. What is the story behind that? How did you end up wrestling a bear?
I've wrestled three different bears. The first time was in Murfreesboro, Tennessee in 83 when I was wanting to get in the business and I was in college. And it was Ginger with the muzzle and the cattle prod of that bear. That was the shooter bear, toughest bear, 800 pounds. And I lasted the 10 minutes and fought for my life. And the second time was with a grizzly bear. I can't remember his name. It was in Alexandria, Louisiana. It was 1,500 pounds. And I made it through alive. And that one that you saw was the first of three nights. That was in 1988. It's 20 years ago. It was in Birmingham, Alabama. And I had to do a tag match, Steve Armstrong and myself against does say Robert Ford, Jimmy Golden. Then I wrestled the Bear. That was the third of three rounds. It was 3 3-minute rounds. And then I lasted through the Bear. Wendell Cooley got injured. He was supposed to wrestle the Bear, and he hurt his knee. He had a bad knee. He hurt it like a couple nights before, something like that. So worked it out, a deal for me to do that. And that was the third of third rounds, and I did it three nights in a row. So 550 pounds, 10 months old, Siberian grizzly bear, terrible head. But that was a long time ago. Now the Humane Society, you know, has outlawed that and can't do it. But I guess somebody got a hold of that footage somewhere. But people forget it's 20 years ago. They said, well, how come you don't look like it now? I was like, God, I mean, it was 1988, you know? What do you want me to do? Yeah, it's an experience. It's a rush, but it definitely tests your character, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, we got to give you credit where credit's due. I don't think there's too many tough guys in the business that want to get in the ring with a bear for even 30 seconds these days. So.
Yeah, but you're definitely one of those tough guys, and it's been a real pleasure and an honor to talk to you and everything. Once again, IWA Mid-South presents the TPI tournament this Friday and Saturday. Tracy Smothers will be on. He's going to be taking on Dave Taylor. Tracy, is there anything else you would like to say in closing?
You know, I'm looking forward to it. I really am. I think everybody on that it's a who's who, and there's a lot of young guys that are going to make a splash. That you know, there's going to be some upsets. I think the main thing you look at IWA, as they say, you know, the old school attitude with new age. You know what I mean? You know, but it's a real positive locker room. It always is. There's always guys there that are trying to just get better and do this. You just wish that they had the backing that some of them have, because I tell you, Ian puts together some great matchups, and he's one of the best yet. I think it's going to be sold out. I think it's going to be the biggest crowd they ever had. I really do, because you got some really good matchups with you know, a lot of guys that are going to make it. It's like I said about those past guys, but that we read, and you know, a lot of them are in a lot of the, you know, major places now, in the TNAs, in the WWE, and Ring of Honor, and this is going to be no different. But you'd like to see IWA be able to expand where they wouldn't have to go anywhere else, but where, you know, there. But, you know, you'd like to see that happen.
Definitely, definitely. So everybody needs to check
out. He definitely deserves it. He's been through hell, his whole family.
Oh, definitely, definitely. So everybody needs
come on
to
down. Check everybody, come down. Come
yeah,
down.
Give him the hard sell.
You know, was it Hartman Rec Center, right? 7:30 show, Juliet, Illinois.
That's right. Come on down this weekend to the Ted Petty Invitational. Tracy Smothers, stay on the line for us for just 1 second. And thanks for joining us here on Rumble Radio tonight.
You're welcome.
All right, that was Tracy Smothers, who ECW, WCW, WWF fame.
Southern Territories,
yes.
All
wrestled
over the place.
Bears. I guess that was big down south. I didn't realize it was three
yes.
Bears. Ridiculous. And as you heard him say, I mean, obviously, you know, he's a veteran, Dave Taylor, a veteran. So, you know, they've got a nice mix of the past, present, and future going on for the Ted Petty
Invitational. I do like the fact that he can actually tell some of these other guys in the tournament, I've wrestled bears older than you.
This is true. This is true.
Not a lot of people can say that, but Tracy Smothers definitely can. And I just want to say, later on in the show, about 8:30, we're going to have Ian Rotten, the owner of IWA Mid-South, on the line to talk about the Ted Petty Invitational
tournament. Tracy talked it up so well. I don't know if Ian's going to be able to top it.
I don't know. We're going to have to ask him. Can Ian follow that? I think Ian can, but we'll have to just wait and see. But you know what, Pooch? Why don't we take a little quick break? When we come back, we'll run down some ECW and some SmackDown.
Sounds wonderful. You're listening to Rumble Radio here on WXAV 88.3 FM, Chicago.
This is the Tuesday Night Delight, Sean Morrison, and you're listening to the sexiest show on radio, Rumble Radio. I'm gonna show you what the future will be.
Are you ready for your biscuits and gravy? Do you want the MVPs of the WWE? Are you going to Wang Chung tonight? There's no cheap pops here on Friday Night SmackDown.
Yeah, Friday Night SmackDown.
I saw some of it. I taped all of it. I meant to watch it today. I did not. I do know a few things that happened. But Dunn, you look like you're excited. I think you watched it all.
Yes, it was a good show. Enjoying some things. Since we usually like to talk about what's happening in the main event first, we're not going to, because I don't have to.
Very nice.
So we're instead going to talk about one of their up-and-coming divisions in the tag division right now, as they have finally found a way to, you know, actually acknowledge the fact they have tag team champions. It was very strange, very weird, in Carlitos Cabana, as he and Primo cut a bit of a heel promo that got a good face reaction, and you saw, you know, the tag champs come out. And it also ended up with Jesse and Festus coming back out, too, with their moving gimmick.
Yeah.
Who was in the moving truck? Who was in it?
Well,
Kenny Dykstra.
I don't believe they actually showed it from this past week. I think that's actually coming up.
Oh.
Yes. So, no. We didn't really spoil anything for you guys out there. If you saw 2 weeks ago, you saw him duct tape up Dykstra. And you probably can piece things together on where they're going with the moving van thing.
Yeah, because they're moving on October 3rd to My Network TV in Chicago, Channel 8.
So apparently, though, like they're leaving the superstars behind. They're only duct taping, packaging, and shipping the lower to mid card wrestlers over to My Network.
Roughly, yeah. But I digress. I'm sorry to interrupt, but take us back to what was happening in the tag division, Stephen Dunn.
Yeah, you have you had a challenge laid out between the Colon brothers against Hawkins and Ryder. It was kind of interesting to see the way that, you know, Primo's cutting this promo talking about how easy things were for him, you know, once he got here, and how he expected it to be harder. And Carlito's, you know, doing a nice bit. They had some good things of them, Carlito getting mad about him taking attention away from him, taking his catchphrases, things like that.
Yeah.
You know, and a good little play back and forth. And the really interesting thing was how the crowd reacted to Carlito and Primo. You know, they were really behind these two guys, and they were playing up a pretty traditional heel, kind of overconfident, you know, role there. You know, here Primo hasn't done anything, and he's talking like this is the easiest thing in the world, and the fans loved it.
It was really weird, because, I mean, other than Carlito, kind of, you know, a little bit of different ring attire, you can't really say he's repackaged or anything. So why do people all of a sudden like him now? It's like, I have a brother, like
got,
me.
Yeah, it's like he's got his old attitude back when he was a heel that made him turn him into a face, and then they changed that attitude. But now it's, you know, you give him that attitude back, and you just let the crowd react how they want to. Because right now they haven't really, you know, had him come out and say, you're not allowed to cheer me like they do with, you know, a lot of heels when they get support.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of why. I don't know how long this lasts, though, in terms of them being crowd favorites, because it could be a quick transition. If they win the belts, you might turn them around to Jesse and Festus, and then that might be why they're not doing too much to clarify just what role, you know, they have.
Yeah, but I mean, I gotta say, just looking at him in the ring, looking at him cutting promos, you know, all gimmicks aside, the real life aspect of it, Carlito seems genuinely happy. Obviously, you hear the reports all the time: is he gonna quit? Is he gonna get fired? He's not happy. They're not happy with him. Just looks like all around much happier with this current direction that his character is going in.
Well, I think what it is, and you read this on the reports and everything, is SmackDown is the less stressful atmosphere than Monday Night Raw is. Raw is live. You know, it's considered the A show still.
The game's running around.
And that's the strange thing. Now you have the game and the Undertaker on SmackDown now, and you don't hear any stories yet about guys wanting to quit.
Yeah, it's weird. You've got Undertaker, you've got Triple H. You think you know, that old veteran, you know, get their way politics. But so far, I mean, SmackDown, other than a couple of vets, really, you know, a lot of young up and comers, a lot of new stars, and you don't really hear too many backstage complaints about the atmosphere.
I mean, let's talk about a newcomer, friend of the show, Colt Cabana, known to WWE fans as Scotty Goldman, had a nice little match with the Great Khali. I mean, he got destroyed with it, but
he made Great Khali look fantastic.
Yeah, and he had a little bit of fun, you know, getting to cut a nice little promo beforehand again, you know, showing off that goofiness. That...
It's the thing that I think is going to get him over eventually. Right now, they seem to be just using him as enhancement talent, you know, but obviously not, you know, completely throwing him to the wolves because he actually gets to do these prepackaged promos that are, you know, shown as he's coming to the ring and stuff. You know, clearly if he can get over an entertainment gimmick, hopefully they will start to, you know, let him compete in these matches. And, you know, I guess you would sell it storyline wise as, you know, oh, he's up and coming. He's learning the ropes. He's getting better at his craft, however they want to go about doing it. But I really hope that's the direction they push him in. Cause, I mean, as you see with Santino, you apparently can maintain a job in WWE just on comedy alone, but Colt Cabana...
And he can wrestle.
Yeah, exactly. Colt Cabana, as we know, can wrestle. So you don't want to waste a guy that can do comedy, and if you...
can play up that, you know, serious role, too. I mean, he's played that kind of desperate, you know, hate-filled kind of guy before.
You can definitely have him be a guy who starts to win some matches, but he's just too easygoing, not enough direction. I can see them doing an angle where he gets some sort of mentor that, you know, slaps him around, says, you know, what the hell are you doing? You know, stop goofing around, take this serious, and get him into that, you know, that mode. We've seen him in Ring of Honor before where, okay, I need to get revenge on somebody, or I'm taking this seriously, I've got a goal, and, you know, I'm just seeing tunnel vision toward that goal. It would be a nice thing to have him, you know, elevate in importance and then get some kind of angle like that where it's like, okay, I was fun in games, but now, you know, I'm really PO'd and I've got my eyes on the prize, and just have him, you know, not necessarily snap, but, you know, start to show some aggression or an edge in the ring.
Well, it's one of those things that we always said, if they allow Cabana to be Cabana, he'll be successful. And it looks like that's what they're going to let him to do, as long as you give him time. And
except they're just letting him be Goldman.
They're letting him be Goldman. Scotty Goldman. Don't you ever forget that.
I'm not Jewish enough unless my last name's Goldman.
That's right. But it should be interesting. SmackDown, you know, always developing new stars. It's always exciting to see what they do.
And speaking of, you know, stars and developing guys, you've also got, you know, Hurricane Helms is coming back. They don't have that cruiserweight division anymore. Cuts a couple of promos on some of the champions, you know, and... It's unclear on, you know, if he's going to be face, heel, but that's going to be really interesting there because they gave him such a long run with that cruiserweight title, and, you know, now doing these promos, they're putting something behind him as well, you know, see what they're going to do with him. You know, we've seen Brian Kendrick make that leap up there into that main event scene.
Well, he was doing pretty good.
Could he be another guy that gets elevated up there?
He was doing pretty good for himself, you know, when he unfortunately had the injury. It looked like he maybe started ahead in that direction. So hopefully they you know, re-push him and let him, you know, quickly get back to where it seemed he was going.
Well, do you think they're going to try and bring back the Cruiserweight title?
I think this is when they would do it, is he would come out there and say, you know, this, you know, belt means something. You know, I've done so much for it. You know, I'm going to fight for it. You know, they've got the talent to throw around there, and it can, you know, elevate him back up pretty quickly.
That would be a great storyline, actually, to do exactly what you just said, have him come back and him be the one that fights for the importance of that belt to come back.
Hornswoggle, you will never, ever get another rematch for this belt.
Exactly.
Ever.
You get the Brian Kendrick involved. We've been saying, you know, maybe we'll see him in the U.S. title hunt. I would love to see that. I think it's very possible, but obviously, you know...
We did find out who the face was into that hunt, though, too.
Yes.
As R-Truth is going to be that guy, because, I mean, you know, we were talking last week, you know, who do you throw in there with Benjamin Kendrick and MVP there? And we got our answer this past week.
What's up?
And a very good match, and the crowd is really, really into the R-Truth character.
I think there's one more guy you can throw into that list, and it's when he comes back from injury, and that will be Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Kennedy. Wasn't enough pause.
No, it wasn't. Well, dead
air.
You
botched it. That's okay.
No, dead air radio, that's bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
So you got to get in quickly like that. Boom, 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 boom.
No, you had to have your pause. We can talk, and then you come in with it again.
Yes, you're done.
Your pause. That was botched.
Damn you and your logic.
I was just reading stuff on the internet the last couple of days, and I think it was maybe yesterday. I saw a link that said... Mr. Kennedy DVD, and I'm thinking like of his wrestling career. I'm like, what? There's nothing to put on it yet. And then I clicked on it. I was like, oh, it's that straight to DVD movie.
What's the name of it? It's
Behind Enemy Lines 3. Columbia or something.
Columbia,
like that.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's the third one in that series, which is incredible.
And
I believe
only the first was in theaters.
Yes. Coming up next, Behind Enemy Lines, Southeastern New Jersey.
I'm a Crip and I'm on the blood side of town. No!
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, why don't we take a short break? When we come back, we'll run down some ECW news. TNA, Kurt Angle is now bad-mouthing TNA.
He sure is, and I like it. It's funny.
We're going to talk some Ring of Honor as well. And also, at 8:30, Ian Rotten will be on the line to talk about the TPI tournament that's taking place this weekend.
And right now, in honor of yet another internet blurb that I read, it's kind of just a commentary on how, like, the advice to wrestlers is don't get involved with or get married to anyone in the business, because you will either drive each other crazy and get divorced while you're in the company together, or like this man did with his wife, you will separate shortly after your careers. So this song is in honor of all the couples of wrestling, past, present, and future. Don't do it. It never works.
You love me. You hate me. You'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the... self-high-five.
I think that's why Kimberly left him, is right there, you know.
Self-high-five?
Self-high-five. I think he's patting himself on the back too much, and I think maybe, you know, His tagline there. I don't want to say it in that context, because that's probably not FCC friendly.
No.
But I think she didn't like that saying.
Yeah.
No.
I think
well,
she got
tired.
Well,
it's very full of himself. It's very egotistical.
Yeah. Maybe she doesn't want to feel it.
And
right?
then that whole angle of her stalking Sarah, the Undertaker's wife.
Exactly.
You know.
Something that has nothing to do with any of that, though. ECW.
Escúchame, escúchame, escúchame. Listen to me, haha. It's time for ECW.
Yes, yes it is. Ian Rotten, he's from the original ECW. He's going to be on in about a half an hour's time. Is that not right, Peter?
About, 31 minutes from now. Ian Rotten will be on the line.
What's going on in ECW? Do we have any announcements for tonight's show?
Well, there's a major announcement for next week's show.
Oh, yes. Yes, there is.
There's a time change.
Permanent time change.
Yes. Permanent time change. ECW now is going to be on Sci-Fi still, but it's going to be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. So if you
They're
live in the Midwest.
They're taking us on.
They are taking us on. I think we can beat them.
Yes.
I think we can beat them.
We're going to do a 1.1.
Or a 1.2.
Yeah.
You know what? No, I think we can get two.
We can get a two?
Yeah.
Two listeners.
Yes.
Okay.
At least.
But yeah, they're going to be 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern. West Coast, you got to figure that out yourself. But the big match they're advertising tonight is a non-title match in which Divas champion Michelle McCool will be taking on Maurice. I miss how Mick Foley used to talk about Maurice.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, like, I don't necessarily like her, but there's something that grabs a hold of me about her. I think it's that she doesn't.
We know
really,
what it is, but
yeah,
you can't mention
FCC.
No. I mean, I think the thing that, like, I get into about her character is that she does a pretty good job of being that cocky word I can't say and. So full of herself. She really plays the role nicely, I think. If she could wrestle a little bit better, I think she could be a nice little package there.
Well, she's only been wrestling, though, for about a
year
week
and
or
a half.
Yeah,
yeah, I give her credit. She started off knowing, like, nothing about the English language and being like, yeah, welcome to SmackDown.
Which is kind of embarrassing because when you're in Canada, even if you're French-Canadian, you still learn English to talk to people.
It's weird. I always thought she was Russian, and then just like one day they're like, she's French Canadian. I was like, what? Is that
Russian, French Canadian?
Didn't it sound like she had?
They're both pretty cool. They like hockey.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just never really heard French.
Are you Russian or are you French Canadian?
French Canadian, English Canadian, several other things.
Oh, okay. So you're a mutt then?
Yeah. Basically, I'm a bunch of people who, if I was, you know, different person for each one of my backgrounds, I'd be destroying myself.
Oh, okay.
Now, we know SmackDown and ECW still kind of, they don't speak about it too much, but the talent exchange type thing, basically.
That's gone. That's now the talent exchange between Raw and ECW.
Is that what's going on? Have they officially made the switch?
Yeah, they've acknowledged on the air that Raw now has a talent exchange. And it makes sense, you know, because now you have the face GM on ECW, so it makes sense he's going to go more with the more neutral GM to work with.
Especially with the past history he's had with Vicky Guerrero.
And the whole, you took my job from me. Well, that, minor detail.
That destroys my argument slightly, but I was going to say, obviously, you're seeing divas from SmackDown, and the point I was going to bring up is, you know, now that the talent exchange with Raw, I can still make my point in general, and that's that outside of that talent exchange, you're still seeing people appear on all shows now, so it's kind of like once in a while when it's convenient, blurring the lines of the draft and the brands. You saw, you know, people on Raw the last couple weeks. I think that is probably mostly due to the bad ratings. They're just saying, hey, let's pull some interesting people from other programs too. As you saw, you know, Miz and Morrison taking on Crime Time. You see
they're a part of SmackDown still.
You see Evan Bourne. So you know, it's kind of a thing where you really, really blur the lines, and I like it, because while I do like the separation, it is nice to not necessarily, you know, I don't want to say dream matches are possible, because they won't give you that on TV for free, but interesting matchups, yes, that you don't get to see on a regular basis because of this. So it's kind of cool. I like that they're doing it. If it helps the ratings, that's nice too.
And also the big thing they're pushing tonight on ECW is the new Superstar Initiative. Jake Swagger, the All-American
out of Oklahoma.
Yes, his record now is 2-0 on ECW. So there's spoilers out there for ECW. We're not going to spoil them.
I will spoil one thing. At least one match has a finish with a winner.
Nice.
So
one thing I wanted to say too, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. That guy that's been running around Raw the last 2 or 3 weeks, just introducing himself to people.
He's a former Spirit Squad.
Yeah,
he's
Dolph. Lundgren? Zinger.
Dolph.
It's like Dolph Zinger.
It's Nick, I think, from the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, Nick Mitchell, I think, is. Yes. The guy, yeah, he's playing.
He looks very different. He really, I can't say the word I want to call him, but he really
stereotypical kind of like '80s action star kind of look to him.
Kind of like a snooty Ken doll. That's what the vibe I get with the slicked back hair. Not feeling it. He's kind of
just introduces himself to people.
You
though.
Think he would beat you up and then you'd be embarrassed about it. That's the kind of thing. Like you go, I could destroy you, and then you kind of walk back to it. Well, how'd it go?
I don't want to talk about it.
I didn't go. I stopped at the gas station and got some food, and then I came home.
I got lost, you know. It was a bad incident and everything.
I walked into the little gas nozzle. That's how I got the black eye.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, but you know what, guys? Why don't we take a short break? And when we come back, we'll run down some TNA and Ring of Honor news. Also, 8:30, we're gonna have Ian Rotten on the line.
And I am also gonna take this break to pray that it's not just ECW appearing on Raw, as you've seen. I'm praying that Raw frequently and generously throw so many wrestlers to ECW and their depleted roster. That is my prayer for the brand, because they're kind of the redheaded stepchild now, Peter. What do they have, like 10 people on the active
roster?
They're the ginger.
Okay. Yep. If you watch South Park, you'll get that reference.
If you don't, too bad. Like it anyway.
SouthParkStudios.com. Go there after the show.
Is that they, what? Do they have full episodes?
They do. It's put on by Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
I'm gonna go there right now.
Okay.
No, actually, I'm gonna watch the bear fight. I want to see the bear fight.
Well, we're gonna take a break though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bear fight time. This is Rumble Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, and if you want to get your money's worth, stay tuned to WXAV in Chicago.
Everybody's got a price.
The WWE, the hardcore legend, and you are tuned in to WXAV in Chicago. Yeah!
Are you adequately prepared for Six Sides of Steel? Reverse battle royals, electrified cages, X Division belts raining from the sky, the best angles in wrestling. Well, they do have Samoa Joe in the knockouts division. Let's talk TNA.
Let's. It feels really weird having Mick Foley.
Yes.
Well, he still says Mick Foley from the WWE.
He does. That also makes it weird. But yeah, I don't know. Does he have music yet? Hasn't he debuted?
Yes, he did.
Did he debut?
He officially made his debut this past Impact in a very good segment that drew very disappointing ratings for them. as we had Jeff Jarrett come out to address the crowd and address the situation with Sting. He cuts a nice promo about how there were some problems with it, and he doesn't acknowledge that he was a bad guy for a long period of times, and a lot of things that people didn't like are, you know, his fault. But he comes out saying, you know, I'm the guy who founded this company, you know, and I wanted to make a company where these new guys could have a chance to shine. This would be the big break for new stars. And how, you know, the reason that WCW went under is because guys like you, Sting, couldn't let the young generation up. And, you know, it's the fault of guys like you that, you know, we lost this other company and these old guys not stepping aside, not letting the young guys, you know, emerge on the scene is a big problem here. And I'm not going to stand for it. You know, I'm not going to let you spout about how it's disrespectful for, you know, a new guy to go up the card. So that brings up, you know, Sting's out there. He calls him out there on it. And eventually he talks about how he brought in Angle to be his replacement when he had to leave. So Angle comes in and it's the same, you know, same self-righteous kind of promo that he's going to cut. And at the end of it, he says, you know, Bound for Glory, I want you in a match. We're going to fight. And Jarrett says, no, I've got nothing left to prove and I'm not going to do it. But we know somebody, you know, we know somebody that's out there. I've got somebody for you.
That will wrestle you.
They cut to the video screen. You see the smiley face with the barbed wire. Mick appears on the TV, says, hi, Kurt. And it's basically just says, like, hi, Kurt, does the bang bang. Doesn't officially say I'm going to fight you or anything like that, but it's a very well done, you know, piece of promotion there. Just a small tease in that whole idea of what have you gotten yourself into.
So he hasn't, like, physically walked into the Impact Zone
yet. He had music for it and everything.
Did he have music?
You couldn't really tell, you know, what it was.
Okay, because that's the whole reason I brought it up is because they seem to take certain established guys and try to, like, make a cheap knockoff of the theme music, you know. Like, Sting
should
kinda...
Yeah, he should be able to get pretty close to what he would have used for Cactus Jack on the indie scenes.
Yeah.
Because apparently that is his gimmick. So he can be Cactus Jack.
Yeah, he has that copyrighted, so he could be Cactus Jack.
Or he'll probably just be Mick Foley wrestling like Cactus Jack, which is essentially what he's done.
He'll probably
past.
Have a Cactus Jack shirt on or something.
I mean, that's been what he's done since he retired.
In 2000, he's been doing that. It's good for TNA that they're, you know, they're building this, and it's an interesting angle, but why give this away on free TV? Why not have this at a pay-per-view?
Give what away?
The fact that he has arrived.
That,
you know,
Foley has arrived? Because you don't pay to see a guy show up on pay-per-view. That is actually wrong. You're actually getting that wrong there.
If you debut
with a guy on pay-per-view, guess who buys the ticket to see a guy debut?
That's what I'm saying, but I'm just saying, why not have it where, you know, you see him on the screen. That's good because he's not physically in the building. What I'm saying is don't have him physically make his debut until the pay-per-view.
Isn't that the wrestle? He can physically make all the debuts you want. The important thing is, if he actually has his wrestling debut, his actual...
I hope he doesn't have a wrestling debut.
He's going to be... I mean, he's going to have a match, it looks like, with Kurt Angle in what could be the first death match, basically, there.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's called...
Unnerving, isn't it?
I mean, that's called a spade a spade.
Just a little.
We love Mick here, but Mick can't go. Mick has no knees. Mick has a bad back. And Kurt Angle, one wrong suplex, and he's paralyzed from the waist down or the neck down or the eyebrows down or
that is only
what
the
have you.
Second time you've used your favorite phrase in, like, the past 3 months.
My favorite phrase?
It's calling a spade a spade.
Calling a spade a spade.
Yes.
You do like to say that.
Yes.
That is my...
It's only twice in the last couple of weeks. I don't think you'd use it, you know, otherwise over the summer even. That's...
Very impressive.
It's impressive.
It's willpower on my part.
Peter is the ace of spades.
The ace of spades.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
I will not sing that anymore.
But I mean, Angle, obviously, we always fear every time he gets in the ring what could happen. Mick, I don't think he would ever, you know, hurt anybody in the ring, but he is a nice tub to lug around for those Angle suplexes and stuff. And as you said, he can't really do too much more than the running knee in the corner and punches that go, hassa, hassa.
I love his punches, though. That does have the best sound effect with it. But, I mean, that's crazy. Mick can't have a wrestling match. He's going to have some sort of a hardcore match and go
the real,
like that.
The real problem with it is that this is supposed to be a story about the older guys trying to hold back the younger guys, and you're kind of forgetting that your biggest older, you know, guy talents, your two big guys in that story, Sting and Kurt Angle, you're only putting one of them potentially against a young guy at the big pay-per-view.
Yeah, and that's Sting and Samoa Joe.
You know, so it might make more sense to do something like, say, you know, Mick Foley is going to be a referee here, and he's going to make sure that, you know, none of these older guys come out and mess around, and we're going to have, you know, Kurt Angle, you're going to face Jay Lethal or something.
Now, yeah. let me get this straight. As far as the people cutting promos on each other, I storyline-wise, I guess they're trying to make the argument for, like, the whole promotion, the old versus the new. But who are the actual guys that seem, like, physically involved in the angle? What are the teams here?
Well, you have Sting.
Your clearest cut ones right now are simply Sting and Angle and then Joe and Styles. And then you're working in some other guys, you know, somewhat, but they're not fully committing to it yet. Like, so, Kevin Nash isn't fully into it yet. But he's on the way over.
Well, actually, big news with Kevin Nash that we'll mention later on.
So now Foley and Jarrett.
Booker T's up there with the old guard,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And actually, you actually have a match this Thursday on Impact, which it's Booker T against AJ Styles. So kind of pulling that.
Now, with Foley fighting Angle, is that Jarrett and Foley taking the side of wanting the young guys
yes,
to come
Jarrett
up despite
is fully
them being
supporting.
Old?
Jarrett is fully supporting the young guys. Jarrett's whole thing when he came out there was this promotion is here for the young guys to shine. We didn't let young guys shine in WCW. That's why it died.
Now, Jarrett, you know, obviously came out and said that. Foley, you know, throughout his
Foley
appearances.
Foley said nothing, really.
Yeah, he really said nothing, but you know from him throughout, like, his appearances on indies and stuff, ROH, he really supports those guys and acknowledges that they're, you know, the future of the business. So in real life, you kind of know that he feels that way. But do you think they could pull, like, a swerve where these guys act supportive, but then, like, we're old guys, too.
Oh, they could, but it'd be a bad move on the Jarrett end of it because, you know, fans actually want to cheer for him now.
Yeah. And he's never going to get this any other time.
And he doesn't have to, like you said, he doesn't have to get into the ring anymore either, and so there's really no need for it. If he, you know, wanted a long run in the ring, then you might think about something, you know, some kind of swerve, even though it's not needed, you might do it. But the way it's going now, it's a good angle that, you know, which is surprising to,
yeah,
you know,
just let it run its course.
Well, one thing that I read on the internet that I thought was interesting today was just a suggestion that maybe get Dixie Carter involved, or, you know, a character that plays her role, and kind of like a Vince McMahon type, you know, like the owner of the company, the big bad owner, and, you know, have somebody call her out on this, like the you know, the signings that you made, that you signed these people that got established in WWE, and, you know, you're the reason why you're holding down your own young stars from coming up in your company, because you keep hiring these names that were made somewhere else instead of featuring the people like Samoa Joe and AJ Styles that, you know, were to a TV audience at least built up here on TNA.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that would make this angle go over even bigger than it already seems to be.
Well, the big thing is going to be you have to make sure the young guys get over in the end, that they're elevated higher than they are before the feud starts. That's the number one thing. That's the number one reason the new blood angle failed, is because by the end of it, you didn't feel like the younger guys were higher up on the card than they were when they started.
Well, let's talk about what Kurt Angle has been quoted as saying.
He's
ripped on TNA, and one of the things that he said, one of the quotes, was about how he's let AJ Styles go over him the last four times that it's mattered, and he does it because he's fully supportive in real life, obviously. You know, I don't know what's going on storyline-wise, but real life, he is supportive of getting these guys over. He realizes he loses no stock because of his win-loss record, that beating him, a win over him, is huge for any of the younger talent on the roster, and he is for that, and he actually knocks WWE a little bit for not doing that as much. They're doing it now. It's a little late.
Well,
you know?
I think with Angle, it's one of those things, better late than never, but he did this interview with The Sun. You can go to thesun.co.uk.
Highly reputable journalistic source.
Exactly.
Talk to somebody from Britain, you'll
understand why.
Get it.
But this is the exact quote that Kurt Angle gives about TNA gimmicks and match stipulations. Being in TNA is exciting and frustrating at the same time. We've been doing a good job, but what we need to do right now is to simplify things. We're getting a little bit too complicated with our gimmick matches and run-ins. I've spoken to the bookers, writers, and owners of TNA and said, listen, wrestling is very simple. Keep it simple. My God, I think Kurt Angle's listening to Rumble Radio, because how many years have we been saying this now?
Yes, quite some time.
He goes on, TNA, do it because we want to be different from WWE and innovative, but what happens is sometimes we are, but then sometimes we're too old school. Let's face it, a tar and feather match today wouldn't go over too well, but we've actually done that. That's a 1960s match that in 2008. We're in an MMA world. Oh, God, here he comes again with how he's going to be an MMA superstar. Fans want to see a mano-a-mano match, one-on-one. Let's go at it. We call ourselves Total Nonstop Action. We say we are TNA. We are wrestling. No, we're not. We're effing gimmick matches. So will TNA follow the rumblings of Kurt Angle, arguably their biggest star in their company? Will they simplify things and try and do it? I mean, you're seeing it.
What will happen next week?
You're seeing it right now, possibly with this Jeff Jarrett angle where, you know, they're doing simple stuff and it's been good for...
Is it on their same impact time?
Same impact channel. But TNA Theater returns next week.
But no, it's yes. I mean that's the honest truth right there, that you know, these guys they have on their roster can get over just because they're talented wrestlers. Put them in a ring with another talented wrestler. You don't even have to have much of a reason why, if you want to get really technical about it. How many times do we go to an indie show or to ROH and you just see two guys and, you know, maybe they don't really have a feud or a storyline going on right now. It's just, oh, let's call it a special challenge match or whatever. And the match in itself tells enough of a story to get those guys over. So I fully agree with what he's saying, that TNA could do far better for themselves if they just ditched the gimmicks, sometimes didn't get so kooky and zany with the storylines and so out there, and just put some guys in the ring and wrestled.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. Don't overbook it. Just keep it simple. But that's all of our time now for TNA. Go for more information, go to their website, TNAWrestling.com. Pucci, why don't we move into the third biggest company in America?
I don't know what the third biggest company in America is. Is it Walmart?
No. It's not Kmart.
It's not Walgreens. It's not Starbucks.
It's Ring of Honor.
Welcome to the real home of real wrestling for real fans, a place where respect is earned. This company is undeniably the best in the world. We're the top guys, man up. It's time for Ring of Honor.
Name dropping of pay-per-views, Peter. You're so genius.
Thank you.
And the best part...
Well, now he's got to add a few more in.
Does he?
Yeah, we'll do another production meeting in another six months to discuss that.
Yes.
But
yes.
In the meantime, we have two new champions.
Three, actually.
Well, two title changes.
Two title changes, but three men with new belts.
That's right. We have brand new Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions.
Who day is?
Mr. Stephen Dunn mentioned
it. Is the team of Kevin Steen and El Generico, as Steen made good on his promise to have a Ring of Honor championship around his waist by the time they go back to Dayton, Ohio.
Very nice.
And if going off the reports from people that were at that show, quote,
this is what they say on ROHWrestling.com. The Boston crowd took this match of the year candidate to the next level with their reactions that, quote, had the floor shaking.
The fans were said to have been standing for the final 10 minutes. People are calling it the best tag match they ever saw. Obviously, if you've been, you know, at a live show and seen a really good match, you end up feeling it's the best you saw because you're actually there. So you kind of elevated yourself a bit. But that is very high praise going on for this matchup. El Generico, one of the greatest baby faces going out there on the scene today. You know, Kevin Steen still plays kind of a bit of a jerk, but the fans love him right now. And, you know, nobody likes the Age of the Fall. And it's just a great, great mix there of everybody wanting to see them, you know, lose. And everybody wanting to see Steen and Generico finally get that big win. And just a great atmosphere said to have happened out there.
It's hard to, you know, fully say exactly, you know, how it was unless you were there. As you said, you know, that kind of adds to the element of you personally thinking it's one of the best you've seen because you were there. You get that added, you know, that added oomph. And, you know, people maybe watched WrestleMania in Chicago and they watched it there like we did and were like, oh, this is so awesome. And then you watch it back on DVD and you're like, you know.
Well, actually, Dunn earlier was watching Better Than Our Best. In the school newspaper's office, the Xavierite, there's a plug, watching it, and
let me tell you something. Those matches on that DVD, they were great live. They're great on the DVD
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, to see this match, you know, with Steen and Generico winning the belts, if it really does something for you and moves you to say, like, oh, that was one of the best matches I've seen on DVD, then that definitely makes me, you know, think that it's got to be more credible to say for the people that were there that, my God, it had to be even better there if it's this good just, you know, watching on
and
my
really,
TV.
And really, yeah, this might be one of their most emotional and, you know, biggest title wins for somebody since Homicide at Final Battle back in 06, I think it was.
Ought 6.
Yes, and also another title change as Brent Albright, no longer your NWA heavyweight champion. He lost the belt back to the man he won it off of.
Boo.
As Adam Pearce was able to take back the NWA title back in the camp of Sweet and Sour Incorporated.
Boo.
Yes, but in good news for you, we now know what the main event will be for the Chicago pay-per-view on November 22nd. As after an elimination match with Claudio Castagnoli and, I believe, Goshi Ozaki, Bryan Danielson won the match, said he wanted his shot at Nigel McGuinness. He'd done what was asked. Nigel, at the end of the night, you know, successfully defending his belt, accepts the challenge of Bryan Danielson. So the main event in Chicago Ridge, November 22nd, ROH World Title on the line as Bryan Danielson tries to become the first two-time Ring of Honor World Champion against the over a year-long reigning champion, Nigel McGuinness.
I did not realize that there's never been a two-time champion in Ring of Honor.
Nope. No, and Nigel McGuinness, who would have thought his title reign would have lasted over a year, but
it
has.
And you know what? While Bryan Danielson's going to go for that two-time champ, Nigel's going to try to do something that Danielson hasn't done yet and no one else has done and become the first Triple Crown champion of Ring of Honor. I know they like to call it a Grand Slam champion, but I'm sorry, without four belts, you're a Triple Crown winner.
So for more news on Ring of Honor, their website, ROHWrestling.com. But guys, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have on the line right now Ian Rotten. We're going to talk about the big TPI tournament that's taking place this Friday and Saturday in Joliet, Illinois. You don't want to touch your dials. Ian Rotten, next.
This is Ian Rotten, the undisputed king of hardcore, and you're listening to the most hardcore radio show on the planet, Rumble Radio.
This Friday and Saturday, September 26th and 27th, Joliet, Illinois, the Hartman Rec Center, 511 North Collins Street, will be the home of the 2008 TPI Tournament, the biggest wrestling tournament in the Midwest. And we have on the phone right now the man who organizes it. This was his baby. This is his baby. This is the hardcore legend himself, Ian Rotten. Ian, welcome to Rumble Radio.
Guys doing tonight?
We're doing very good. Ian, this is a huge, huge tournament that's taking place this weekend in Joliet. What do you think of this?
I think it's the most diversified tournament we've ever put together. I think that, you know, between AAA Mexico star Cassandra and having Sarah Del Rey in a tournament and then Dave Taylor, you know, I think that they're absolute great first time additions into the tournament that are going to bring totally different styles that people may not be used to, but would definitely like. I just got the opportunity the other day to watch Mike Quackenbush versus Cassandra from NWA Showcase TV, and that match impressed Jim Fannin. So if you can impress Jim Fannin, that's doing something. So.
Yeah, that's definitely doing something.
Of course, Quackenbush could carry a, you know, tune,
a broom,
you know, if he had to.
Yeah. And make it a match of the year candidate. In fact, Quack is the defending champion, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and what was an absolutely incredible, wonderful wrestling moment that I was really proud to be a part of last year. You know, question is, you know, how far can he go in the tournament this year? Considering the fact that I hear he's still suffering some effects from the injury last year, really one of the reasons why he doesn't do that many singles matches. So
We'll see how he does this year.
Now, let's refresh the people's memory for this. Mike Quackenbush suffered a concussion at last year's TPI tournament. And it was a fall, a spill to the ringside, if I remember correctly.
It was an ill-fated dive, really. He got his feet a little tangled up in the ropes and went like a dart, hit first into concrete. Oof. And that just goes to show you what, you know, this tournament means to a lot of guys, for the opportunity to be in it, let alone win it. And Mike showed a lot of heart.
Now,
for sure.
Now, Ian, for the few people that are unaware of what the Ted Petty Invitational Tournament is, can you give the listener a brief history of what this tournament is and what it's about?
Well, on September 21st of 2002, my good friend Ted Petty passed away of a massive heart attack, and I thought really the whole time there what an absolute incredible shame it was, because Teddy was the type of guy, you know, especially as a young wrestler, that would teach you things and mold you, but let alone he would also stick up, you know, for right and wrong of the young guys. And, you know, when Paulie wouldn't get me a hotel room and stuff like that, Teddy would, you know, let me sleep in his hotel room and, give me rides to the venues when I needed him and stuff like that. And, was a guy that could do all kinds of styles. You know, when he first started wrestling, he was the Cheetah Kid and picked up an incredible amount of high-flying stuff and was doing moonsaults and things like that really before the Great Muta exposed it to the United States audience. Teddy also, you know, could brawl incredibly, Public Enemy stuff sometimes was some of the best comic stuff ever in wrestling. One of my favorite Public Enemy interviews of all time is when Johnny Grunge cuts an interview and says, "Ever since we came back from Japan, Rocco thinks he's bisexual." And Teddy goes, "That's not bisexual, you idiot, it's bilingual." So I mean, that kind of stuff was just absolutely great stuff. So, you know, we have in the tournament every year tried to make a mixture of things that that Teddy was as far as personality in the ring. And when I got to New Jersey and settled in for the night, actually sat down and was talking with former MAW promoter Carmine Espirito. And we were putting our heads together and came up with the idea of renaming the Sweet Science the TPI, or Ted Petty Invitational. And after the funeral and stuff, Teddy's family had a fantastic layout at an Italian restaurant for everybody just to get together and talk about Teddy and things like that. And I walked up to his brother and his dad and told him my idea. And asked them what they wanted out of it, and they said they wanted absolutely nothing but me to keep their son and brother's memory alive. So that's what we do every year. Because still to this day, I have fans walk up to me and go, you know, "Who was Ted Petty?" You know, and some modern day fans don't know who Flyboy Rocco Rock was, unfortunately. But what this also does is, I believe every year gives a young upstart in the business a chance to shine. And I mean, I'll never forget in 2004 Matt Sydal versus AJ Styles, which I really think is the match that brought Matt Sydal to the forefront of indie wrestling. And of course, now look what he does nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, he's on Monday Night Raw going up against Kane. And even look at what AJ Styles is doing. He's one of the cornerstones for TNA and everything, having a fantastic feud with Kurt Angle.
And it's amazing to see the growth of Matt, though. I mean, if a lot of people remember correctly, in 2004 when Matt won the TPI, I said TNA needed to get their head out of their butt, but I used another word, and hire Matt Sydal. And I knew he had the capabilities of being just the biggest star is Rey Mysterio, and you know, WWF capitalized on that, WWE, whatever the hell it is. So, you know, I'm an old wrestling fan, so I have a hard time putting that E in there.
We understand, Ian. Oh, we understand. We slip every once in a while as well with
Vince. Just needs to pull out that cash and buy the F back.
Yeah. That should be a new campaign, buy the F. Vince, buy the F.
Yeah, and now, Ian, with, you know, you've been talking about how you like to give a chance for these young guys to break out in the tournament each year. Who's a guy in this year's tournament that you see as a breakout guy, and what's the match you think, you know, out of these different matchups that you're going to see, what do you think is going to kind of steal the show and really surprise people this weekend?
Well, I think if Sami Callihan can get past Chris Hero, which is a tall, tall order, you know, even though you know, Hero is, you know, a scouting genius when it comes to knowing his opponent's a TPI. If Sami Callihan can get past Chris Hero, I think he could definitely show a lot of people. He's an up-and-coming rising star. Prince Ali, who was a guy I put in a tournament at the last minute, just impressed me so much. No matter what my political views were with the guy, I had no choice but to put him into this tournament. And his opponent, Ego Fantastico, is another guy, you know, it's just on the verge of breaking out all over the place. So those three guys are definitely guys to watch out for. And, of course, you know, he's not necessarily a young guy, but the IWA World Heavyweight Champion, Dingo, is one of the most, you know, charismatic champions we've had. Let alone the guy mixes in great wrestling ability and can pretty much do any style of wrestling. Him and Drake Younger just tore each other apart in Portage, Indiana in front of like 55 people. So Dingo also instilled what, you know, I've always said hardcore wrestling is about, and that's giving it your all no matter what. So we've got, you know, quite a few guys in there that have the abilities to the shock the world, as Muhammad Ali said, you know, come this Friday and Saturday.
Well, not only do you have men that could shock the world, but you have a woman who could shock the world, and that is the American Angel, Sarah Del Rey. She'll be taking on a big star in the Midwest, Trick Davis.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people should sit down right now before I say this, but, you know, I look at Sarah Del Rey as the number one technical girl wrestler, woman wrestler in the world. And she's definitely earned an opportunity into this tournament from just being that much better than the average woman in the business. From her training with Brian Danielson to, you know, just constantly making sure she's booked every weekend and getting better and better. So, yeah, you know, and Trick has put on, you know, 20 pounds or so, and you know, is looking fantastic also. So that's going to be another interesting battle. I think this year's tournament has the ability to really make some stars of some people.
Now, Ian, you're talking with us about women's wrestling. You touched on there. Can you give us an update on Mickey Knuckles' condition?
She's doing real good. She's down the working with one crutch. By the beginning of next week, she should be on a cane, being able to put most of her weight on that leg. And, you know, physical therapy is going well. They said she only lost about 5% of her muscle in her leg, which is awesome. And, you know, we're expecting her back around the end of October, beginning of November there. So, you know, she's doing real good. She gets around. The funniest thing is, you know, when we went to the gathering of the Juggalos, nothing stopped her from getting around. She was hobbling all over those grounds on two crutches, and, you know, she's getting some guns on her from walking on them crutches. So,
well, that's definitely good to hear.
Yeah, but the doctor says he didn't see no reason why she couldn't be back in the ring, you know, third week of October, end of November area there. So. And the doctor that did the work on her leg is the same guy that did Bo Jackson's hip replacement and Frank Thomas's reconstructive elbow surgery. So God knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, nice. Good thing she was in good hands with that.
Yeah, now, one of the matchups on the shows coming up. It's actually not part of the tournament itself, but a IWA Mid-South World Light Heavyweight title steel cage I Quit match between Jason Hades and Jason Quick, with the loser losing the their Jason name. How did this match, you know, tell the fans, how did this match kind of come about? How did that stipulation come into play?
Well, you know, these two guys had a couple of really good matches against each other, and then Kimberly Cash got in Jason Quick's ear and just turned him into a total butthole and, you know, just absolutely changed this guy's way of thinking to the point that he lied to me about being able to make it to a show to get out of the cage match, and then at that show showed up and duct taped Jason Hades' feet and arms and then put a bag over his head a la Terry Funk and wrapped duct tape around him trying to suffocate him. I think Jason Moore, instead of just beating Jason Quick, that way Jason Hades wants Jason Quick so bad that I think he wants to hurt him, you know, make him say I quit, embarrass him, take his name from him, strip him down from everything he's ever had in his life. And Jason Hades is been a fantastic light heavyweight champion and, you know, wants to continue that title reign. And, you know, a thing here is, you know, these guys aren't known for brutality, but I think, you know, once you lock somebody in a cage, the animal comes out in you. So these two are going to tear each other up in a totally different fashion, but I imagine they'll go at it pretty heavy.
I agree, man. The steel cage, you know, it brings the animal out into anyone in there because it's a very dangerous structure, and then you add to that element that it's an I Quit match. I hate to say it, I could see someone getting hurt in this match and everything, but I think this could be the sleeper match also on this card. I mean, two young guys going at it. This should be a good match, and not only that, you have a title on the line with it. Ian, any final predictions for this weekend's shows in Joliet?
Well, the thing about the TPI is guys go out there with the intentions of not only impressing the fans, but overwhelming them. And I think this year's core of guys that we put together with so many young guys in this tournament, and one young lady, or two if you count Cassandra. well, I mean, when we were in Texas and met him, you know, Mickey said, hey, man, to him, and he said, I don't like to be called a man. So, you know, we'll go with that.
Hey, it is in the 2000s, you know, to each their own.
Hey, I don't care, you know. But you know, this group that I put together for this weekend, I mean, I've been so excited for so long. Friday will be like waking up Christmas morning for me at this point, because you know, people complained a little bit about, you know, Roderick and Delirious pulling out, and then BJ got hurt, and El Generico pulled out and stuff. And I still think we put together a stellar, incredible lineup of diversity that you know, would make Teddy proud, and that's the important part for me, you know. And these guys that are in this tournament know that this is the night to shine. This is if you're ever going to impress other promoters, if you're ever going to impress wrestling fans around the world. Because we have people coming in from England, we have people coming in from Japan, Germany, all over the place to watch this tournament. If you're ever going to do it, you know, getting an invite to the TPI is the place to do it at.
Yes, thank you once again, Ian, for coming and joining us on the show. For more information about IWA Mid-South Wrestling, go to iwamidsouthwrestling.com.
All right, Ian, good luck, and we hope it's a great show, and we'll see you this weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it. Take care.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. Well, that, my friends, is that.
That is
the summary there from the man who put it all together.
One of the biggest tournaments in wrestling. I mean, this is right up there. This is the tournament, pretty much the tournament you want to win if you're on the indie scene, is this TPI tournament. It just skyrockets you in terms of your credibility. You know, I mean, you could, you don't even have to win the tournament. You have a good matchup here, a good match or two, a nice little run, and you can really just vault yourself into title contention in a lot of promotions.
I mean, let's just go over some of the stars that were in this. Tracy Smothers mentioned this earlier, but these are some of the guys that have been in it. Loki has been in it. AJ Styles, Evan Bourne, a.k.a. Matt Sydal. CM Punk, a former WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Samoa Joe, current TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Christopher Daniels, legend here in Chicago independent wrestling. Chris Hero has been involved in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, these are, if you see a guy, you know, coming into the WWE now or into TNA now, you know, not these necessarily the really older guys, but the new guys coming up, chances are they came through the TPI tournament, and if they didn't, they probably feel left out.
That's
and
right.
Also, Ian mentioned some people that pulled out. He said Roderick Strong. Who else?
El Generico. I think BJ Whitmer.
BJ Whitmer got hurt. Heaven. So you look at it like this too. Those are some guys where, you know, not that this couldn't help them, but they're already, you know, pretty popular, fairly established guys. Where, you know, some of the guys on here, you know, they're names out there. You know who they are, but they're not quite on that level as the upper class of indie wrestling.
Yeah,
so
you don't even know necessarily. Like Sammy Callahan was a guy that, you know, you probably didn't hear about before. But I can tell you that he, you know, just like that Prince Mustafa Ali, these are guys you're going to hear about a lot more in the coming months and in the coming years. And these are guys that are going to break out on the scene. They just have, you know, that talent level that's required.
And that's something you got to think about too. I know a lot of, you know, with TPI, there's almost always people that either get hurt or have to drop out for one reason or another, and they pull out. And sometimes fans get really, you know, PO'd about that because they don't get what was originally advertised. But it gives opportunities to these other guys. And you know what? Sometimes it's better to see this new guy you've never seen before than this guy that you've seen 8 different times.
And I can kind of liken it to watching the college basketball tournament.
Yes.
You know, where you start watching, you go, oh man, this, you know, third round match between Duke and Connecticut is going to be awesome. And then Duke loses in the first round and Connecticut loses in the second round. And you go, you know, you don't say, oh man, I lost my dream match. If you go, this is awesome, there's these, you know, young up and coming teams, these Cinderella guys, you know, essentially in this tournament, this guy I never thought could
George
do this.
George Masons of wrestling.
You know, yeah, you go, I can't believe, you know, Matt Sydal, who is this guy? I thought he was a, you know, first round jobber. Then all of a sudden he's winning, you know, the biggest tournament he could possibly win.
That's the fun thing about tournaments, just like the NCAA tournament, TPI, you will get your bracket busted. If you call all these matches and predict them and you get it correctly 100%, I will give you all the money in my pocket, which is about,
I don't think that's ever happened,
$30, but you can have it if you predict correctly.
Well, there you go.
We should do that contest. Email us. Peter, where can they email us with their predictions?
WXAVRumbleRadio@yahoo.com.
I'll give you 2 days. You predict all the winners all the way through to the finals and pick the winner of the whole tournament. I will give you the money in my pocket, which, let me pull out my wallet here. I'm going to count it exactly. And I'm serious because I know nobody's going to
get it. The wallet's out.
Wallet's out.
Oh, there's a lot of singles 20, there. Yes.
25, 30.
We know where he's going. 32,
33, 34, 35, 36.
He's counting.
30.
$39.
Yes. It's Pooch's Rumble Radio TPI $39 Jackpot Bonanza Bracket Buster.
Most
I can't even
don't
remember what I just
that all
said.
In singles, but I guess you really love your dollar menus, don't you?
I do. I get by
Who
on
doesn't?
McDonald's.
So, but you know what, guys? For more information, IWAMidSouthWrestling.com, or you can go to the official forums of Chicago of Rumble Radio, ChicagoProWrestling.com. You know what, guys? If you can't make it to TPI, there's some other indie shows that you can hit up as well, and we're going to talk about those next.
And you're listening to Rumble Radio. Check it out. Peace.
And now, Rumble Radio proudly presents the best in Chicago independent wrestling.
Yay, wrestling. Yay.
Excitement.
VWAA will be presenting the show on the 27th of September at the VWAA Industrial Studios, which is 17035 Burnham Avenue in Lansing, Illinois, bell time 7 o'clock.
It's going to be headlined by a VWAA Tag Team Championship match, as Fall in Ruins will be taking on Tribal Alliance with Red Flag Army. Also, you're going to have a Crosstown Classic reunion celebration with Ricky Walsh, Braun the Lumberjack, Mitch Blake, and Sweet Cheeks. Also, you're going to have a Hardcore Halloween qualifiers match contested under relaxed rules, as Braun the Lumberjack with CTC will be taking on Ivan Manson with JD Manson. Also, you're going to have Ricky Walsh taking on CTC versus Virgil Davis. Also, the Definition, what is that?
Salas Velasquez.
Thank you. Taking on...
What is this?
Freak. I'm not even going to try because I would butcher it. That's why I go to Dunn. And also, you're going to have a VWAA Championship Open Challenge match as Machine takes on Rat J Flywheel.
Secret for you, I don't know it either. I just go with something and commit to it.
Yes.
Nice. Additionally, on the 27th, if you're down in Decatur, Illinois, Mid Pro Wrestling will be putting on a show at the Mosaic Temple at 224 West William Street. Doors open at 6 p.m., bell times at 7. You're going to have a 10-man battle royal, and the final two wrestlers will go at it at the main event. This is for the NBS Undisputed Wrestling Championship. Some of the participants are going to include Backwoods Browns, the Mississippi Madman, the Forever Man Guy Smith, and White Lightning Bobby Houston. You're also going to have an NBS Middleweight Championship match with Hunter Matthews, a Ring of Honor prospect, taking on the main attraction, Casey Jackson, and so much more. For more information, you can check out ChicagoProWrestling.com.
Always a stacked weekend in wrestling here in Chicago and the Midwest.
That's
yes,
right.
There is, and there is also shows out there by you, not in the Midwest area. We may not be able to tell you about them as much as you might like, but go ahead and find out about them yourself. No matter where you are, you can find an independent wrestling show.
Search engines are your friend.
You know, probably within an hour of you at the most in the majority of places out there. You know, if you're out on the East Coast, there's plenty of promotions out there. There's promotions on the West Coast. They're down south. They're overseas. Go ahead, check out some independent wrestling this weekend.
Because there's one lesson that we always want to tell you fans out there from Rumble Radio, and that is the indies are the lifeblood of this business. If you want to see the future of wrestling, you support your local indies.
Indeed. And if you don't like what, you know, you go to one, you don't like what you see, let them know. Let them know. They're out there to entertain you. That, you know, every promoter out there wants to get you going to their shows and their matches. You know, they want you to be entertained by things. They're not putting on shows to entertain themselves.
No, they want to entertain you.
They're putting it on for you. So, you know what? Tell them what you want. Go out there. You know, maybe you go to one. It's not your thing. Find another one. You know, find it until you find that promotion that, you know, you like. Support as many as you can, as many as you want to.
It's kind of funny because, you know, when I was a younger kid, you know, I didn't even know anything about this indie wrestling stuff, just what was on TV. And if you think about it, you know, back then, if you were checking out indie shows, hell, you would have saw people like the Hardy Boys or Stone Cold working their ways up. How awesome would that be? Just how we're pretty enthralled right now that we're watching CM Punk on TV. Can you imagine someone as elite as Stone Cold Steve Austin or
The Undertaker or Mick Foley?
Yeah, any of those guys, how they got their start. I mean, Mick Foley maybe jumped off a few roofs first, but he had to go to a wrestling school. Yeah. He had to earn his keep as Cactus Jack.
You know
what?
Hulk Hogan was, you know, wrestling in front of small crowds in Canada.
Yeah.
You know, and getting people, you know, hooked into wrestling. You know, all these different guys, you're gonna see them, and it's something really fun about seeing a guy, you know, in the minor leagues, essentially.
They could be
able to
say,
I knew him before everyone else.
That's right.
5-10 years down the road, they could be your WWE or TNA World Heavyweight Champion. So how cool is that? But gentlemen, I think it's time to roll under the bottom rope.
Now is the time on Rumble Radio when the crew analyzes the stories that roll under the bottom rope.
Monday Night Raw will be going 3 hours again on the 3rd of November in Tampa, Florida. The show will start an hour earlier than normal at 8 p.m. Eastern, which will be 7 p.m. our time here in my city, Chi-Town, Chicago.
Speaking of new times, as we mentioned earlier before, starting next Tuesday, September 30th, ECW on Sci-Fi moves to 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central, and if they show it live everywhere, 7 o'clock Mountain, 6 o'clock West Coast.
Wow,
show off.
Yeah, you couldn't do it earlier. You told the Pacific people to figure it out themselves.
I did.
ProWrestling.net is reporting that Rey Mysterio is imminently close to re-signing a deal with WWE. Management offered him a 5-year deal, however, it's being reported that he opted to sign a 3-year deal instead. Mysterio had been in talks with AAA out of Mexico, who apparently offered him a 3-picture movie deal in addition to a wrestling contract. Although he opted to resign with WWE, he did request to be considered for WWE film projects. That would probably be odd, but I'd be interested to see what kind of movie they'd give him.
It would be. Deuce returned last night on Monday Night Raw, and it was his first television appearance in over 3 months, dating back to June 20th.
What happened on June 20th, Peter?
He got beat by Jesse and Festus in their second defeat in 2 weeks, causing Deuce to lay out Domino with the Crack'em in the Mouth. With the return of Deuce, as well as the recent return of Carlito, that only leaves D.H. Smith and Chuck Palomo as the only active drafted wrestlers that have yet to debut on their new brands on TV. Palumbo has been working on a Raw house shows, but D.H. Smith has yet to appear on SmackDown in any form.
And speaking of Chuck Palumbo, he is said to have lost support in the WWE and could be on his way out of the company. Another wrestler who could be on the chopping block, one of my favorites out there, Paul London, could be back on the indie scene
shortly. That would be cool, though. He'd come back to ROH, I hope.
That's right.
WWE will return to Ireland in 2009 for the first time in 2 years. You've got to believe that Hornswoggle and Finlay will be main eventing that.
Absolutely. At last night's SmackDown tapings in Columbus, Ohio, my favorite, The Undertaker, suffered a dislocated finger during his after-taping dark match with The Big Show. The Undertaker, being the man that he is, popped the finger back into place following the match.
TNA's official website has added referee Shane Sewell to the roster section. Interesting little story they have going on right now where, you know, normally the wrestlers kind of mess around with the refs. He fights back against them, could be transitioning into a professional, into a active wrestling role. Kind of a just nice little fun thing going on in TNA right now.
Very nice. Regarding Kenny Dykstra's lack of push, it doesn't help that a number of people feel he rubs a lot of them the wrong way, and so he doesn't get opportunities that a wrestler with his ability would normally get. His problems date back to his time in WWE Developmental in Ohio Valley Wrestling.
There's a joke to be made there, but we can't.
Yes, no. You need to learn how to rub people the right way.
And finally, Robert Roode's TNA contract is expiring soon, and he is said to have drawn some interest from WWE. So could beer money be breaking up?
Another kind of funny note on that too is he kind of notes that he and Storm are kind of the reverse of each other in the role, saying that he's the guy who likes to get out and drink some beer and Storm's the guy who wants to make some money. So kind of a funny thing that, you know, this little tidbit of information out of TNA right there.
Little acting role.
Well, I just want to say right now, I got AOL Instant Message a few minutes ago when we were talking about, you know, supporting your local indie feds, and you can Google them and find them. There's this website. It's called freewebs.com/pro-wrestling-events, and it lists almost every single wrestling event in the world and gives their dates and what's going to happen. So on the 25th of September, you're going to have 2 WWE shows in Spain. You're going to have a CWF show in Texas, a DCW show in Kentucky, EPW in Tennessee, FCW in Florida, GCW, RWC, UCCW, XWO, AJPW,
going through the whole alphabet.
ASW. Yeah, I mean, this lists
England,
every
Japan,
single.
Japan, you know, all throughout the United
Scotland's
States.
Scotland's on here.
Yeah, you have
that's
everywhere
pretty cool.
You want to see.
That website just needs to get an easier domain name, and they're set.
Yes, once again, the URL, if you want to check that out, is freewebs.com/pro-wrestling-events.
All right, guys, you need to buy ProWrestlingEvents.com, and then you're A-OK in my book.
I'm sure that's already taken. We're going to see.
Well, we're not going to tell you necessarily what's on there. Cause...
No, we're not. It's just a test.
Cause it's probably one of those search engine things again.
Yeah.
But gentlemen,
yes, search engine.
This has been yet another successful edition of Rumble Radio.
What was our goal? Just I'm curious, because we have to have a goal.
To entertain and inform the masses about all things in the world of professional wrestling.
Yay.
Wrestling. Yes. Yay.
Well, I think we did do that then. So, yes, we successful. Did do that.
And there's a goal coming up for the next show, and that's to help you rock out from 9 to midnight, the Hard Rock Co-op, coming up next, right after Rumble Radio.
That's right. Keep it tuned here, WXAV 88.3 FM.
In the most timely fashion ever. We're only 2 minutes over.
That's right.
It feels good when you don't have certain people from certain indie feds that like to record promos for us and talk about how much they hate their former tag teams they manage. It's amazing how far you don't go over
lie about
when they don't call.
Unicycles.
Yes, there is no lying about unicycles on this
Excuse
program.
Me. I had to sneeze.
Yeah.
Joey Eastman, Peter, two sneezes.
I'm
Do you
sorry.
Have a third for good luck?
No, I don't.
No, the third time's the charm.
Go to our official website, RumbleRadioOnline.com. Check us out on the MySpace, MySpace.com/RumbleRadio.
Also, you can check out the archives where the man I was just alluding to, Joey Eastman, has many specials.
He does, and there is rumors that we will be recording another Joey Eastman special in the future.
That's very vague, but you know
no what? Word yet on the location of 3, though.
No, it's still lost to the ages.
You didn't get to hear him talk this week on the program, so we got to at least give him cheap plugs for where you can hear him talk on demand.
That's right. Until next Tuesday night, I am Peter Creighton.
I am Pooch.
I'm Steve Dunn.
It's the final countdown. We are Rumble Radio. Tune in next Tuesday from 7 till 9.